When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are live at the Crystal City Sports Pub. It's a Friday field trip. Come on out and have lunch. Kick it with us. It's going to be a great day talking football and getting ready for the Commanders, the Eagles, and Week 16 in the NFL, which got underway last night. Chargers, Broncos, AFC West football. To discuss that game and the rest of the slate this weekend, we are joined by our guy Trey Wingo, courtesy of DraftKings Network. Trey, you are on in D.C. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you. What did you make last night of the very rare free kick field goal opportunity? I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, first one made in the NFL, guys. Good to be with you, since 1976 when Ray Worthing pulled it off. Of course we all remember that. There have been a couple of times where they've actually attempted this over the last 5 years or so, but that was the first one that was actually made, in a long, long time. And that's just really smart, okay? That's the Chargers really understanding the situation and taking advantage of it. Like, the free kick is the greatest thing in the world. Like, it's like an uncontested layup. And when you have a guy like Cameron Dicker who can hit it that far and get a running start at it, it's tremendous.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh didn't seem to know about it or wasn't aware of it. Someone came up and I saw the video. They like grabbed him as he was sending his offense out onto the field. And yeah, They're like, no, we got to do this. Should Broncos fans be bothered that it seemed like Sean Payton wasn't aware? Or is that one of those where you kind of blame the penalty, you blame the execution on special teams?
Oh, look, all those things are true. But if you're a coach, you got to know that stuff. I don't care whether you're Harbaugh or Sean Payton. You gotta know that that's a possibility. But but for Sean, there's nothing he could do about it anyway. Like, even if he didn't know it, like, you can't try and defend it. It's a free kick. So everyone should know the freaking rules, man. That's situational football.
Trey Wingo with us here on G&D. Who finishes with the number one seed in the NFC?
Oh gosh, it looks like Philadelphia, guys. They won 10, and obviously they got you guys, the Commanders, coming up. I want you to listen to these numbers, okay? They're on a 10-game winning streak. They were 2-2. They've won 10 in a row. Here are their NFL ranks since week 6. Best record, first. Total point margin, second, plus 132. Total yards margin, which is really the thing that's absolutely amazing here. They're plus 1,368. In yards, that's first. And time of possession, almost 33 minutes per game, also first. They're not just winning, they're beating people up. And that's the most impressive thing about this. But it is interesting, right? No matter how good they play or how well they play, if I want to use the English language, there's always drama. Even in their last win, Nick Sirianni had to be separated from Jalen Carter. There's always something going on with this team. And I guess they feed off it.
They seem to, but what is the deal internally with Sirianni, who seems like he's not well-liked? I mean, he's got one of the great winning percentages ever. He's kind of a wackadoo. He's yelling at fans several weeks back. Him and Hurts are always bristling, it seems like. Like, what is the deal there?
Do you ever watch the What's the John Oliver show? Last Week Tonight on HBO?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he had this line once about Nigel Farage, who was leading Brexit, and he referred to him as the perpetual cover boy of World's Most Punchable Face magazine. And I think that's part of it. Nick Sirianni looks like he has one of the world's most punchable faces. You just want to smack him. And I think that's part of it. I don't know. They just feed off the drama, man. And if it works for them, it works for them. But, yeah, look, there's no secret that, you know, people like A.J. Brown, like, with all due respect, when they asked him after the game, hey, that was to tell everybody to shut up. Well, if you just shut up, nobody would have known there was a problem between you and Jalen Hurts, right? So I hate it when players do that. Yo, I can't believe you guys stirred this all up. No, you did, bro.
Yep.
You did. And then we followed up with that. So don't get it twisted. They live off, like, everything's good when you're winning, as long as you're winning, right? I'm really curious to see what happens if they drop one of these final three games and maybe fall out of the number one seed in the NFC.
So, Trey, Detroit, kind of to that end, the other team that might have something to say about it, I guess Minnesota as well, who's also 12-10.
Yeah.
But Detroit deserves a ton of credit for what they've already done. Their resume is awesome. To me, I'm probably unfairly dismissing them just because of the multitude of injuries. You can't do that and get away with it and win a Super Bowl. But are we discounting them unfairly?
No, I think it's the reality of the situation. Guys, to put it in perspective, they have 16 defensive players on injured reserve. Now, let's just do the math. Okay, that's 11 starters plus 5 backups on one side of the ball. Like, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Niners have had a lot of injuries, right? You've had Christian McCaffrey, and I think they're on their 5th-string running back. Maybe even their 6th-string running back now. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk is out. And we've had, you know, Bosa miss some games. And those are all quality players, but at least it's some on one side of the ball, some on the other side of the ball. I don't know if I can ever remember a rash of injuries on one side of the ball like this ever. I mean, 16. That's a lot.
The other team in the division that's just quietly chugged along, I think we've all kept waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Vikings, but they suddenly have the same record as the Lions. They're both 12-2. They still play a head-to-head game in Week 18. Now, in the meantime, Minnesota's got Seattle and Green Bay. So that's about as tough a 3-game stretch as any of these elite teams have. But how much of a chance do you give them to win the division and possibly host a playoff game?
I think I give them the best chance to win that division right now. You know, if they went out, they're going to win it. And I think, I got to look at this, I think if they went out, they get the number one seed as well from Philadelphia, even if Philadelphia wins out. So it's really been very impressive. Like, it's really, really been really impressive. And, you know, they started 5-0, and then they lost 2 games in a row. I think we all forgot about them. Like, well, there you go. They lost 2 in a row. Well, they haven't lost since. And they've been really impressive. I think the other thing about this, guys, if we're being honest about it, how many of us really believe in Sam Darnold at this point? I think that's it, right? We're still surprised on some level. We're happy for him that he's doing this. But we're like, okay, this guy's never been in the postseason before. As a starting quarterback, so let's see how this goes when everything's on the line, because it is different, right? You have to coach games differently, you have to play games differently in the postseason, and it is a different beast. So there's a real strong possibility that they can get the number one seed, but I think all of us are curious to what they see or what happens once they get there.
And Trey, I will also add, I'm totally, and this is unfair, holding 2 years ago against them when they won 13 games despite being outscored, there's a, I don't really trust him kind of thing, which I don't think is right.
No, but you're not wrong there, right? Like, how do I put this? Like, that was Kirk Cousins in the postseason, right? And no one knew what was going to happen there because Kirk has not had a lot of success in the postseason either. So I don't think it's dissimilar in any way, shape, or form.
Trey Wingo with us here on Grant and Danny. So AFC, maybe it's a bit tighter here, but are any teams that right now are outside the playoff picture looking in, do any of them end up in the postseason?
Well, Cincinnati is really interesting, right? Because that loss last night by Denver opens up a possibility for the Bengals to get in there. And, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see Joe Burrow in the postseason. A reminder, he's the only active quarterback in the NFL that has led his team to a playoff win over the Kansas City Chiefs. The other two losses in their Patrick Mahomes era were to Tom Brady in an AFC championship game and then the Super Bowl. So here's what Cincinnati needs to make the playoffs. They got to win out. They got to beat the Browns, the Bengals, and the Steelers, and that's going to be tough because that Steelers game, they still could be playing for the division title at that point, depending on what happens on Saturday. And even if something happens on Saturday, they're still going to be in it because they would have if let's assume they lose the Steelers on Saturday to the Ravens, which they almost never do. They'd still be tied, so that last game could be very important, depending on what happens to Baltimore. So the scenario for Cincinnati is this. Win their last three. The Broncos have to lose their last two games. They have to lose out to Cincinnati, and then they take on the Chiefs, and who knows what the Chiefs will or won't be playing for in Week 18. And then the Colts have to lose once more, and the Dolphins have to lose once more. All of those things are certainly doable. Now, it's asking a lot. And, you know, Cincinnati's been very uneven. Like, who knows? Denver could just this week put that to bed by going there and taking care of Cincinnati at home, because Cincinnati has had all kinds of eggs that they've laid at home. So, although it's just interesting to see all the things they've gone through and the horrible start they got off to and some of the ridiculous losses. You know, Joe Burrow's playing quarterback better than anybody right now.
The Colts, who are bad, could lose to anybody. I grant you that. But they do have a Charmin soft finish here. They play Tennessee, the Giants, and the Jaguars. So
they only got to lose one of those.
Right, and they're bad enough to lose to anybody. Miami, by the way, plays San Fran, very losable. Cleveland, the New York Jets. So that one's even easier to see happening. But you're right. I mean, if the Bengals somehow got in, I know their record is what it is for a reason. Their defense is awful. But it's Burrow in the playoffs, man. I know the Chiefs wouldn't want to have to play Cincinnati as like 9.5-point favorites.
That's exactly right. And remember, the Bengals once, I think the year they went to the Super Bowl, they beat the Titans when they were the number one seed. I think Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's
right. They still found a way to win that game.
Why? Now, part of this is expectations, and that's not a real tangible thing here, Trey, but why isn't Houston better?
Well, there's been a regression on offense. C.J. Stroud has not put up the numbers that they were hoping that he would. Some of that is because he's taken a beating behind a leaky offensive line. And that's kind of funny with this game between the Chiefs and the Texans on Saturday, because that's a big issue for both of these squads. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the loss of Stephon Diggs has been a huge issue for them. But that offense, I mean, the defense is playing okay. That offense has just not been as consistent as it needs to be and as good as they were a year ago. That's the biggest issue for them.
Look at the NFC West with us. Right now, you got a two-way tie. Rams, Seahawks, 8-6. Seattle, Geno Smith goes down. Sam Howell looked rough in his first action with the Seahawks.
But
the
Rams, guys know Sam Howell.
Yeah, well, very well.
We do.
Probably better than we'd like to. The Rams are frisky, though. This is 3 straight wins.
Yeah.
They finish with Jets, Cardinals, Seahawks. Feels like one of McVay's better coaching jobs. If they were to get in, how would you feel about them as a possible tough out?
I would not want to face them in the first round of the postseason, for sure. Look, you have Stafford in year 16, guys. Year 16, playing as well as he's ever played. And you could make a very convincing argument that they have the best tandem of wide receivers in the NFL. I know some people are going to say it's Jordan Addison and Jefferson. I know some people are going to say it's Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are absolutely unreal. And in fact, it's pretty clear to me that Puka is now option one and Cooper Kupp is option number two. Those two guys, when they're on the field together and Stafford playing the way he's playing, they would be a team that I would not want to say, oh, we got to play them in the first round. I would not be comfortable with that if I was the opposing team.
I still think the Ravens have as high a ceiling as anybody, but some of these confounding losses here, Trey, frustrated Ravens fans, but they're still, to me, so damn dangerous, but they haven't really put it together. I know their schedule's been really tough, one of the tougher in the league, just anecdotally. I have no facts to back that up other than my own gut feeling and what I've told myself here recently thinking about them, but I feel like they are incredibly dangerous, and they're 6.5-point favorites this weekend against their arch-rival Pittsburgh, so there is some belief in them.
There is, but you're right. They have some of the more confounding losses in the year. Explain to me how you're going to lose to the Raiders at home, right? Yeah. Explain to me how you found a way to lose that game to Cleveland. Some of their losses are really troubling. The problem for them, and it's interesting that I find that they're that big of a favorite, the Steelers own these guys. Like, they do not play well against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think in the Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh era, I think Tomlin is 21-15, something like that. And you look at 21-15. And by the way, this is just so people understand how special this is. The only two head coaches that have played against each other more in the history of the NFL than Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh are Curly Lambeau and George Halas. That's how many times these guys have met, including postseason. But they do it. You look at Lamar Jackson's numbers historically against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're just different. For example, just go back to week 11, right? They scored 16 points. In every other game this season, they're averaging almost 31. They had 329 yards in that game. In every other game, they're averaging over 430. They had 16 first downs in that game. They averaged 24 in every other game. They had three giveaways in that game. They give away half a turnover, basically, in every other game. Lamar's passer rating in that game was 66.1 out of 158. In every other game, it's 125.4. They know how to get to him. Lamar's teams with the Ravens are just 1-4 against Pittsburgh. They're 66-20 against everybody else. His TD to giveaway ratio is 5-11. It's just different. They sack him almost five times a game over the five games that he's been a starter against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, it certainly helps that they're at home, but Lamar, I mean, the Steelers are kryptonite to Lamar Jackson. They always have been.
Trey Wingo, DraftKings Network on Grant and Danny. We'll let you out on this. You're on a football Friday in D.C. getting ready for the Commanders and the Eagles. Sounds like you're all in on Philly, and I totally get it. I think they're the best team in the NFC. What kind of a chance do you give Washington in their second matchup with the Eagles, this time at home on Sunday?
Well, I give them more than a puncher's chance for sure. They've got to find a way to sustain drives against that Eagles defense, which is, like I said, time of possession. They're averaging almost 33 minutes a game, 32-42. You've got to find a way to not give them a lead. The Eagles are great front runners, right? That's who they are. You know, that Najee Harris sort of lateral, even though it was on Russell Wilson because it's on the quarterback to get the ball to the running back, it was clearly a Najee Harris fumble when it was 20-13. That changed the entire complexity of that game. You've got to get on these guys. You've got to get on them and then make them come from behind, and that's way easier said than done. But if you can do it, it changes a little bit of the dynamic of this Eagles juggernaut, and they're going to have to rely on that passing game, which is 31st in the NFL, guys, out of 32 teams. So you can say, oh, it's so great with Saquon, but when you have what you're paying Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, there is absolutely no excuse for that passing attack to be 31st in the NFL.
Trey, awesome with us as always, man. Have a great weekend.
You got it, too. Anytime, guys. Be with you.
Trey Wingo of DraftKings on Grant and Danny.